Hare Krishna, it gives us extremely great pleasure to have with us one of Srila Prabhupada's stalwart disciples, His Holiness Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj. I just confirmed, this is the first time Chaupati Yatra devotees are having the good fortune of having his association. We requested him and he gladly consented. Maharaj is a scholarly figure. He has taken this task of penning Krishna Leela and already books like Na Parayaham Krishna Sangati, and the latest one is called Krishna Janani. So Damodar Janani. And Maharaj's books also will be available in a bookstall. Maharaj is mainly based in Hungary, where he is the leader of a big farm project called New Brajadham. And we are very happy to have him here. So we would like to welcome him very, very enthusiastically by loudly chanting three times. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for this invitation. And I commend you all for living through this extraordinary rain that we had over here. It didn't rain through the ceiling? No. Hare Krishna. There is, I don't know if any of you have, well, I'll ask the question. There are a set of recordings of Srila Prabhupada's talks in 1977. There's 400 in all recordings. These aren't lectures. Maybe there's a dozen lectures in them altogether. Who listens to those or who has them? Very few. They are available. They're available from Bhaktivedanta Archives, from BBT. You can download them. I think you can get them for free. And they're very, they're different than what you've heard prior to those dates. Srila Prabhupada's morning walks and lectures and everything. They begin 1977 with Srila Prabhupada going to... They begin... I only listened to him three times. Still my memory stretched. Anyway, it's Kumbh Mela, Calcutta, Mayapur, Mumbai. From Mumbai, Srila Prabhupada goes to Rishikesh, Vrindavan, Bhaktivedanta Manor in the UK, and then back in Vrindavan. And I'm mentioning those recordings because you haven't heard them. And I think as members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, devotees need to have it as part of their raison d'être, as they say in French, which literally means the reason for living, and part of your sadhana, part of life, to listen to Srila Prabhupada's voice and his teachings. Let me ask another question. Who regularly listens to Srila Prabhupada's recordings? Okay, there's a good show of hands over there, more amongst the men than the ladies. But you can listen while you're cooking. And I know that when I first started listening to Srila Prabhupada's lectures in 1972, I couldn't understand what Prabhupada was saying. It took a little while for my ears to get used to Srila Prabhupada's accent. Now it's very natural. But aside from reading Srila Prabhupada's books as our primary sources of scriptural reference, it's our duty to hear Srila Prabhupada because you get to see and hear another aspect of Srila Prabhupada that's somewhat different than his books. It's the same person, but in different forums, Srila Prabhupada will speak differently in a class, when he has a conversation, and when you listen to these recordings that I'm talking about. As I mentioned, there's only a few lectures here. There's a lecture or two in Mayapur, in Mumbai, Darshan, in Rishikesh, and that's it. They're all personal interactions with his devotees. And especially after Srila Prabhupada, there's an event in Rishikesh. Prabhupada's health was not good. And Prabhupada had very weak kidneys, and ultimately Srila Prabhupada left this world from the material point of view due to kidney failure. When Srila Prabhupada, I remember when we were here in 1977 in Sridhar Mayapur for the annual festival, at which time, I don't know, maybe there were 400 or 500 of us. It was a real luxury then. We had the long building. The year before, in 76, the only accommodation was the Lotus building, which was Srila Prabhupada, Sannyasi's, GBC's, and the wall. So what you see now, the shops mostly along the wall, to the left of the gate, that was the men, and to the right of the gate, that was the women. And that's where we were staying in those. And then there were some outside toilets and showers. When Srila Prabhupada in 77, he gave one greeting lecture and one lecture, and thereafter he became very ill. And after that, he just told other senior devotees to give class. And from there on in, Prabhupada's health started a very slow decline. And Prabhupada went to Mumbai. He participated there in a very large pandal. And from there he went to Rishikesh with the idea that being in a cooler weather, drinking Ganga Jal, that will make him better. But one evening there was a storm. And at that point, Prabhupada felt like something happened. It's not exactly clear from the biographies. I remember talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj, who was Srila Prabhupada's personal servant, and who played a very, very special, extraordinary role in this last year. He came here sometime in February. And played a very special role in Srila Prabhupada's Tirobhav Leela, his pastime of disappearance. When you listen to it, then you understand. There's nobody that Srila Prabhupada interacted with or interacted with him in the way that Tamal Krishna Maharaj did. It was a very special relationship. And in Rishikesh, Prabhupada said, I think that I may die, take me to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada came to Vrindavan. They drove all the way to Vrindavan. And Srila Prabhupada, he gave a 3-minute talk when he was greeted by the devotees. Essentially, he said that, I've come back to Vrindavan. If I have to leave my body, then it should be here. And that desire of Srila Prabhupada was fulfilled. And from that point on, Srila Prabhupada's health started to really decline in a very serious way. And the interaction that Prabhupada had with his Tamakrishna Maharaj was his secretary, he had his servants, and then he kept having the GBC coming. I think they were called on three, if not four, separate occasions. They would fly in, and then after a few weeks they would leave, and Prabhupada would call them again, and he would call them again. In fact, Srila Prabhupada actually at a certain point sent out two telegrams or messages to the world. Every devotee in ISKCON can come to be with Srila Prabhupada. Now that didn't quite happen, and when devotees were asking Prabhupada what will happen to the temples, Prabhupada says, whoever wants to come, they should be allowed to come, because it was going to be the last opportunity to be with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, I'm a freedom lover. At the age of, up until the age of 80, Srila Prabhupada was traveling around the world. He was on the move every second day. He was preaching morning, noon, and night, managing an international society. Srila Prabhupada didn't like to be constrained by his condition. And more or less, it becomes quite clear, if you study it closely, that at a certain point, Srila Prabhupada recognized that even if he didn't leave the world, the condition he was going to stay in this world wasn't the type of condition that he wanted to stay in. He wasn't going to be free. And so more or less Prabhupada stopped eating and drinking. He fasted to death. Sometimes he would take a little something, but the quantity of something that eating was more or less nil. And drinking, it depended on how much encouragement he received from those who were taking care of him. So all of this interaction is there on these recordings, and it gives a very special and unique picture of Srila Prabhupada, but it also gives a very unique message. I don't know if any of you have seen this film that Yadubar Prabhu produced 40 years ago. It's called The Final Lesson. And it's about a half an hour long film. It's about Srila Prabhupada's final days, and then the day or 2 days after Srila Prabhupada's departure. But it was just that. Srila Prabhupada was, as Purushottam Maharaj was explaining, Prabhupada is the world acharya who gave us everything from how to tie a dhoti, how to brush your teeth. Prabhupada, not only how to brush your teeth, Prabhupada gave us toothpaste. When we join a temple, there's no question that you're going to go and buy Pepsodent in the store. First of all, we didn't have money to buy Pepsodent. But second of all, Srila Prabhupada had Prabhupada toothpaste, which was salt and mustard oil mixed together. And that was toothpaste. That's what we brushed our teeth with. It worked. It was a little tough if you had sensitive teeth. But so Srila Prabhupada gave us absolutely everything, and he taught us everything. As Maharaj said, others may say so many other things, but we're just already elaborating on what Srila Prabhupada has already given. Prabhupada has laid the foundation. He has laid the seed in the same way as there's the Bhakti Lata Bij that comes into the heart of Vaishnavas. Similarly, Prabhupada laid the seed for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. And Prabhupada showed this lesson. He showed lesson that every one of us is going to have to face sooner or later. Now, you may not have to take sannyas, I'm pointing to the men, and you may not lose your husband because he took sannyas, I'm pointing to the ladies, and you may not have to go out and sell Prabhupada's books. And you may not do many things, and someone may become a pujari, and some. But there's one thing everyone's going to have to do. You're going to have to leave this world. That's guaranteed. In the way Srila Prabhupada's own language, he says, as sure as death. So it's guaranteed that we all have to leave this world at some time. But how to leave this world? And as with everything else, Prabhupada again laid the foundation. He showed how one should actually leave this world. And the miraculous thing is that Prabhupada's mood remains consistent with everything else that Prabhupada had given us up until that time. Who's read Prabhupada Lilamrita? The unabridged version. The big version. Yeah, very good. So, again, very important. When Satsarupa Maharaj was doing research at that time, I was traveling with him. I went to some of the places. I went with him to Butler, Pennsylvania to interview. At that time, we were interviewing the newspaper reporter who first wrote that Butler Herald, I think it was called, article on Srila Prabhupada. He wasn't very favorable, interestingly enough. He's one of the very few people who was not favorable. And that was a really wonderful service. Srila Prabhupada gave permission to write the biography. He was against it. In the beginning, he said, why? Same thing as what Maharaj was saying. Prabhupada did not want this to be a personality cult. He wanted this to be the Krishna consciousness movement. So even when devotees wanted to build Srila Prabhupada a house here, where Srila Prabhupada's samadhi is now, Srila Prabhupada would want to build you a house. Why? Why do I need a house? I have my rooms here. Ultimately, he was convinced that it would be good for the preaching, that the acharya should have a house where people can come, influential people can be nicely taken care of. Then for preaching, Prabhupada said it was all right. Similarly, when the question came up, Prabhupada, biography. He said, no. Why? Why do you want to write about me? He said, we have our books about Krishna. But again, devotees prevailed and said, but Prabhupada, people are very interested. If they read about you, then they will want to know what you wrote. And then that sold it for Srila Prabhupada. All right, if by hearing about me, they're going to want to hear about Krishna. And so Satsarupa Maharaj wrote this Prabhupada Lilamrita. You know, there are many, many devotees who have written their experiences. And they're all very, very wonderful. Personally, I know when Maharaj first wrote that, I've read that book at least 20 times. And it used to be my nighttime reading before I would go to sleep. And it's an important thing for all of us to really know Srila Prabhupada. And therefore we have to hear of him, hear from him, read his instructions, because ultimately it's everyone's responsibility. It's not, I'm saying my spiritual master, not referring to myself, but referring to you. It's not your spiritual master's responsibility to know what Srila Prabhupada said. It's not some sannyasi's responsibility. It's not some Prabhupada disciple's responsibility. Everyone who's in this Krishna consciousness movement, it's your responsibility. And it's your responsibility to actually feel that this movement is the continuation of this movement is my responsibility. Srila Prabhupada, in the Gaudiya Math, where their Bhaktisthanta Saraswati Thakur had, say, 20,000 initiated disciples, Srila Prabhupada wasn't that well known. He was a grihastha, a family man. He had his business. But he took it as his responsibility out of those 20,000 people, he was the one person who took it as his responsibility. That Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted this, therefore it should be done. And for that, Prabhupada sacrificed. He sacrificed staying in Vrindavan, he sacrificed his health, and ultimately Prabhupada decreased the duration of his life, he said, by 10 years in order to travel around the world. That was the effect of the traveling. That's what sampradaya means. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyo bithu. We are all in this parampara, especially those devotees who are initiates. Then we have to think, yes, my service and my Krishna consciousness. These are two things that we have to really perfect as our obligation to Srila Prabhupada. Not just chanting 16 rounds and regulative principles, all right, minimum 16 rounds, no. 16 rounds and regulative principles, but in order to become pure devotees. It's our duty to Srila Prabhupada to become pure devotees, not just to become sadhakas, but kriti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava. But we should practice sadhan with the aim of attaining bhava, with the aim of attaining perfection in Krishna consciousness. This is our responsibility to Srila Prabhupada. And if Srila Prabhupada is going to continue living, and he's living in his books, he's living in his instructions, Srila Prabhupada is living in his murti, and is living in this Krishna consciousness movement, which Srila Prabhupada really struggled to establish. And he protected it. Prabhupada was extremely protective of both the devotees in this movement and also of the society. But the society is made up of parts. I hear there's 5,000, 7,000 devotees here. You're all parts of the society. And everyone has their particular role. In an automobile engine, say a standard automobile engine, there's 15,000 moving parts. You take one out, the engine will stop. Everyone has their fundamental role. Everyone has their intricate role. It may be a screw, you may be a wheel, you may think the steering wheel is more important than the screw, but what are you going to do with the steering wheel if the screw is not in place? Then it becomes useless. So just consider that 40 years today, not exactly today, at least today, by our calendar, November 14th, by the solar calendar. 40 years today, which is actually two generations have gone by. And there's still another 10,000 years to come. And our responsibility is to make sure that what Srila Prabhupada has given and what Bhakti Purushottam Maharaj has emphasized as the founder of Acharya, that it's not lost. But don't think that it's someone else's responsibility to do it. It's everybody's responsibility to do it. It's our responsibility to Srila Prabhupada. And it's not an easy thing. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sakalinina mahata yoga nasta parantapa. Being in the material world and fighting against the influence of the modes of material nature, sakalineha mahata, the influence of kala, or time, is very powerful. Even Krishna comes, he speaks Bhagavad Gita, and what happens? So many people misinterpret it, so many Mayavadis follow it, other people make many things of it. Vyasadeva gives Srimad Bhagavatam, and all kinds of distortions arise from it. Kalini Hamahata. That's the influence of time. But it requires sincere people. Therefore we have Evam Parampara Praptam Imam Raja Arsayobitu. So we may not be Raja Rishis, but it requires that devotees play their role in keeping intact what Srila Prabhupada had given, because when Krishna says, Jada Jada Hidharmasya Glani Tadatmanam Sujamiham, Krishna comes personally, he comes in his incarnation, he comes in his avesh form. He empowers the devotee. And of course that was Srila Prabhupada's position. He was empowered to fulfill this mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Rupa Goswami had already begun that, Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jina Bhutale. But Lord Chaitanya wanted Prithiviti. He wanted every town and village, Nagaradigram, that the chanting of this Hare Krishna mantra will go on. And Srila Prabhupada was the one who actually set the seeds for that. But it's not over. And the challenges are there. 40 years have gone by. If you listen to these lectures, these recordings, you'll see that 40 years ago, there were no Indian devotees in this yatra. In India, I'm talking about. The Indian devotees that were here are the ones who came from the West. Gopal Krishna Maharaj came from the West. He came from Montreal and Paris, and other devotees also. And a few devotees started to come. So now there are so many Vaishnavas, so many devotees. But still the challenge is there. The challenge is that what we have may be lost. Many wonderful things have happened. Oh yes, that's what I was saying. The Indian Yatra is now the most prosperous, quickly growing, populous, and so many other aspects, things in the entire Krishna consciousness movement yatra. But it wasn't at one time. Now it is. It could not be again. Nothing is assured. When I finally moved into temple, and that was in 1973, I was already associating with devotees for quite some years before that. But our consciousness was that about 2-3 months down the road, we would be taking over the world. Srila Prabhupada gave us that impression. He said, it can happen in 18 days if you have full faith in my instructions. Well, it didn't happen in 18 days. It didn't happen in 2-3 months. And as you notice, it didn't happen in 40 years. In fact, the impression that we're making on the world doesn't necessarily balance off the impression that Kali is making on this planet and the residents of this planet. It's up to us. The challenge is not a minor challenge. If even Krishna's message can be lost, if even Krishna's teachings and sampradaya can be compromised, Au, Bo, Kautabraja, so many different upper sampradayas will come up, then we should know that it's a real challenge for us to maintain what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And Prabhupada emphasized that a cooperative effort is one of the main keys to make that into a real success. So in these days leading up to Srila Prabhupada's departure, Prabhupada would say, I will not die. I will live in my instructions. But instructions are not just some kind of sound vibration in the ether. They're not just ink on paper. But actually, instructions are something that resonates in Srila Prabhupada's followers' hearts. And everyone of us and every member of the Krishna consciousness movement for now up through to the thousands of years to come in the future, they must know Srila Prabhupada. The health of this Krishna consciousness movement depends upon it. And everything else is secondary. All of us write many books. You read the books, You don't read the books, it's optional. But reading Srila Prabhupada's books is not optional. We have to recognize that Srila Prabhupada's position is foremost. And aside from taking responsibility, we have to know what it is that Srila Prabhupada wanted. Everyone has to know. Every individual has to know. And then Srila Prabhupada will not die. So this is actually Srila Prabhupada's, I don't know, celebrating. I always have difficulty in celebrating Prabhupada's disappearance. Philosophically, it's one thing. Personally, that's another. But nonetheless, it's our duty and my humble request to everyone that don't let Srila Prabhupada die. Make Srila Prabhupada thrive. Srila Prabhupada thrive collectively within the movement and within the hearts of all of his followers by making this Krishna consciousness movement what Srila Prabhupada wanted it to be. Prabhupada really had this very, very wonderful and extraordinary vision what ISKCON should be. And he envisioned that this Krishna consciousness movement would save the world. Sometimes it seems like we're struggling to save ourselves. But Prabhupada wanted this movement to save the world. So if we make that as our prime goal, and that's what Srila Prabhupada did, it's what made Prabhupada different from all of his other god brothers, is that Prabhupada was not even satisfied with just his being comfortably situated in Krishna consciousness and chanting Hare Krishna and living in Mayapur or Vrindavan. Prabhupada was willing to sacrifice everything to fulfill the mission of the disciplic succession in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And ultimately, we can't get around that. You may be brahmacharis or sannyasis or grihastas. Prabhupada treated everybody the same. He didn't make any distinction. That means he expected the same from everyone. He expected the same from his grihastas as from his sannyasis, which was that make ISKCON the priority in your life and just depend on Krishna. Let Krishna take care of everything else. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.